Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Again today, I am asking for the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds, to be receptive, Father, of this your word, that we can receive knowledge and the truth, Father, that we need in order for us to be able to walk according to your will and your way as your child and always be in obedience unto the word and whatsoever you would call upon us, Father, to accomplish. Now be with us throughout this study, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 10th chapter of Romans here. We finished with 9 this morning, so we're going into 10. Here in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, they know some things of God, but they lack a lot of knowledge. And that's what Paul is letting them know here in this writing. And in verse 2, he says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Verse 3, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Now you see, here he's dealing with several different topics there in those five verses there. Now, he's talking there about Christ is the end of the law. And Israel itself mistook the purpose of the law because they wasn't keeping it. And they had mistook the purpose of it. And the law pointed to the righteousness that is attainable only by belief in Christ. You see, those are things the law couldn't give me. Israel also mistook the scope of the law and the righteousness to which is pointed was universal, available to all who responded to God's revelation of himself through the law. But by Paul's time, many had substituted works for faith rather than seeking redemption in God's mercy. They pinned their hope on their own religious achievements. And you see, that will not work. And as I have told you before in several other services even, we don't work, do any works for God in order to be saved and to make heaven our home. We do those works and we serve him because we are saved and our faith and our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we work, because we love him more than we love the things of this world. And yes, we need to work, because that is part of his word. It's telling us about what we need to be doing. Because you see, when we became that born-again child of God, we became lights unto the world. Think about that. You should no longer be hid from the world. You should be seen and heard by the world and reporting to them and declaring unto them the things of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and giving them the truth of his word and introducing them to all of the phases of being a child of God, such as walking in the Lord Jesus and him in you, and walking in the Spirit and the Spirit in you. Because we have so many today that are not teaching all of this. In fact, very few are teaching anything about the Holy Spirit of Almighty God at all. Because you see, they have really never understood it and came to a truthful knowledge of needing the Holy Spirit. And we need to be very, very careful about that. Because what we will say and do and think about the Holy Spirit can cause you and I to miss out on a lot of things and miss making heaven our home. Because his word tells us, and tells us plainly, we can curse the Father and be forgiven. We can curse the Son and be forgiven. But the blaspheme, the Holy Spirit, is unforgivable. That word blaspheme, I'm going to leave that up to you, because I want you to go to the dictionary to find out the meaning of it, of what that word really means, so that you will get a better knowledge of the meaning of it. Because it's something you do not want to accomplish on your own out there. Now, we have a lot of things that we need to be very, very careful of. All right, but let's go on now here with our study in verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh not on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from heaven. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, Paul is skillful kind of weaving things together, especially these quotations from actually Deuteronomy chapter 9 and 4, and also chapter 30, 10 through 14, which speaks of God's initiative in grace and man's humble obedience to it. And he then applies this truth to the gospel of Christ. Think about this. Now, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We are told there that confession is made unto salvation. One is not saved by his mouth's confession, but rather the mouth testifies readily of the grace of God in Christ, which has been received by faith. You see, without faith in God, we're not going to receive anything. Everything we need has already been given by God through His word, through His promises. It's already been given. It was given at the cross in His death and His resurrection. But it is all to be obtained by faith. Now 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This whosoever, as chapter 9 stressed divine sovereignty in salvation, this passage stresses human responsibility. Scripture does not view these two principles as a paradox or a contradictory, but as mutually compatible truths. You see, it's letting us know the word does not contradict itself. It only confirms. Now, but it takes that knowledge of the word in order to be able to reach the understanding, the knowledge, and the conclusion in which God is trying to give us as we study His word. Now, 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, in presenting the universal proclamation of the gospel, Paul presents the reasons why a universal proclamation is even necessary. First, because the call must be preceded by faith. Second, because faith must be preceded by hearing. This shows that knowledge is essential to belief, and faith must have a valid content. Third, because hearing requires a preacher. And fourth, because preaching requires being sent. The one who sends is God. Salvation is completely from God. You know, we have too many out there that has not been called nor sent. And that's why they are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, is because they don't have the knowledge they need in order to be able to preach this word, because God didn't send them. Now, they have chose that as work so that they would not have to do manual labor and stand out to mankind as really being somebody. It comes down to selfishness and self-pride. Because today, in most of our churches, it is a very lucrative work. I can give you two examples. In a little town here in Kentucky from where I live, they were missing the pastor and they were trying to get a pastor in. They was having trouble getting a pastor because they didn't pay enough. Their payment for a pastor was they furnished him a home. They paid for all of his and his family's medical expenses. They paid for his telephone. They paid for his car. And they gave him $100,000 a year. That's pretty lucrative work, don't you think? To not have to get out and do manual labor. I'm not saying you don't work as a preacher, but you do. You're usually busy most of the time. But it's not manual labor. But what other line of work can you get that will furnish all of that and then pay you in money $100,000 a year? And in that same town was another church that was doing the same thing, except they paid a little less. They was paying $80,000 a month instead of the $100,000. Neither one of them could get a pastor because it wasn't enough money. Think about that. You see, it's things like that that has hurt our churches. Now, Sixteen. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? Now, you know, here in 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's exactly what we are doing right now. We are fulfilling this plan, or this verse 17, with these Bible studies. Because hearing comes by the word of God. And that's what this holy book is. It is the word of Almighty God. Now, you know the word of God better, the word of Christ, the reference is to the oral communication of the gospel. And the word translated report in verse 16 is translated hearing here. Notice that it is not faith in what is heard, but faith that comes about by what is heard. This is what Paul meant in 1:16 when he said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Saving faith is not man doing his part in response to God's having done his part. Saving faith can come about only through the gospel. Salvation is God's work alone. This also shows that there is no other way to be saved but by the explicit gospel of Christ. We have to go through Christ. There is no other way. We go to him and repent. He forgives our sins. We are baptized in his name because we have to put him on. And that's the way we do it, is by being baptized. We are being buried with him. We're taking on his death, his burial, and we are being raised in his resurrection. And then we walk in newness of life. And then we will be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that gives us the authority and the power and all of the equipment that we need in order to do the work that God wants us as an individual to do. He has that plan laid out for you. And we are to live by his plan, not ours, for our life. Now, But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went to all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. You know, they were warned, but they would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The word right here that was given to them, because that's how we got it. These authors that wrote the scripture recorded as it was given to them by the Holy Spirit were Jewish men. They should have been really a whole lot more of them except the Lord Jesus Christ and what did. But we thank God for everyone that has. And we need to be praying for those that are still alive today, that they will wake up and that they will come out from under that Mosaic law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and understand that he is their Messiah. Because it is only through him that they can be saved. We are under a different time dispensation now. And we are under the New Testament, which is covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only way that you and I can have salvation. Now, 20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. In other words, he's talking here now about you and I, the Gentile people. Even in Isaiah, the prophet knew that there was the coming of the Gentile people that would find the Lord Jesus and accept him. Now, 21. But to Israel, he said, all day long, I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. He had his hand stretched out for them. He walked this earth with them, among them, speaking, talking to them, trying to get them to see and to understand. And they would not, because they, in their selfish pride, were standing in rejection of him, because he was not speaking the things that was in accordance with their way of belief. And yet, they were not keeping their way. Mankind's going to find out, and the thing about it is, it's not as far off as they would think, until they are going to know just how wrong they have been. But then it will be too late. They will be making hell their home instead of heaven and being with the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that everyone that will join in with us in these studies and hear this word of God will write it on their hearts. File it away so it will always be there for them to stand on, to use for the things they need in this life, and that they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and walk in this word in all obedience. And we're going to stop there for this evening and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word this evening, we're thanking you for it, Father. We always stand thankful for this word, Father, because it is through this word that we have salvation. It's through your word, Father, and our faith in you and our faith in the Lord, our faith in your word, Father, that we can walk along the pathway of righteousness to make heaven our home, to become that born-again child of the living God. Now, Father, Israel, we pray for them to have peace. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for all of Israel to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. This land of ours, Father, evil. And it's because of the evil we have let get into leadership in our government. And I'm praying, Father, that we all come together and stand together and remove them from office and replace them with those that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the church, and love your people, and love this country. And will work with us to put this land and our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for all of those that are part of this ministry. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, Father and her friend, Christina. For James Taylor, for Bobby, Millie Johnson, for myself, Father, keep us all through the remainder of this day and tonight. Let us rest, Father, through the night, but wake us in time, Father, that we can come together in the morning and back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And I'm praying, Father, that you keep us all in health, keep us safe, and hold us, Father, in your loving arms. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Have a great day. And God bless all of you. Good night, all.